Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking with Congressman Tom McClintock on this weekend show, a Republican who represents District 4 in the U.S. Congress. He represents the Motherload region. And I'm going to ask you another prediction question. I know you said it was hard to answer those sometimes, but I'm curious your thoughts on the upcoming midterm elections, how you're feeling Republicans will do.
Well, I think there's a growing realization that this country is completely off the rails, and you're seeing that in all the polling. I know Quinnipiac poll yesterday showed Biden down to 38% approval. I do wonder about that 38%, but that is an extremely low number. At the same time, we're seeing the generic candidate for Congress now beating the generic Democrat for the first time since 2014. The natural history of elections gives the Republicans a significant advantage simply because the party in power tends to lose about 20 seats during a midterm election. And the reapportionment tends to favor the Republicans. People are leaving the Democratic states and moving to Republican states. And in the new reapportionment, that means that the Democrats are losing seats in places like California and gaining them in places like Texas and Florida. So naturally, I think the Republicans are favored. But also, I think there is an enormous tidal wave building of people who one by one are awakening to the danger that this country is drifting in. I mean, if you look at the debacle in Afghanistan, where Biden turns a phased conditional withdrawal under Trump to an unconditional surrender to the Taliban, and the implications that has for Taiwan, for Ukraine. I mean, there are capitals around the world where this has been viewed as a sign of enormous American weakness of will. My guess is China will move against Taiwan. Russia could well move against Ukraine. And God knows what Iran will do when it acquires nuclear weapons in a few months. Or for that matter, Afghanistan will do now that they have $80 billion worth of American military equipment that was basically handed over to them through the Biden administration. In fact, the tragic bombing at the gates of Kabul airport, that was done by a suicide bomber who had been a prisoner at Bagram Air Force Base, who was released by Biden when we abandoned the base. There are 7,000 terrorists we were holding there, and that begs the question, what are the other 7,000 of those terrorists doing right now? How many of them are coming in through our southern border? The border crisis, of course, is going to be felt in every town in America. The border agents have warned me repeatedly, every community is now a border community. These folks aren't staying on the border. You're seeing a mass migration inland. You're going to be seeing it through classrooms that are being flooded with non-English speaking students. How does that help our kids? Hospital emergency rooms will be flooded with illegals demanding care. How does that help our access to medical care? You're going to see that in rising crime rates. The gangs are rampant throughout these communities. And you're going to see it through a depressed labor market. We've talked about the inflation that the Biden policies have unleashed, and it's going to get a great deal worse from here. Rising crime rates. Basically what's happening to our country is what happens whenever the left takes complete control. Rising crime rates, sky-high taxes, confiscatory prices for energy, for water, for housing, rampant homelessness, failing schools, faltering businesses, and ultimately fleeing families. That's happening in California. It's happening in Illinois. You look at cities like Detroit. This is a path to Venezuela, and we're well on our way there. So you put all that together, I think people are beginning to awaken to the fact this directly affects their lives, their futures, their livelihoods, their standard of living. And I think there's going to be an enormous reaction. My concern is whether that's going to be in time to reverse the damage that's being done by these policies.
Got just a couple minutes left on this weekend's Motherload Views. Curious, too, one of the recent chatters in Washington, D.C. has been whether to regulate social media companies. Where do you stand on that issue?
The Section 230 protection is extended, which protects the social media companies from lawsuits for things like libel and copyright infringement is based on their assurance that they are not publications. They exercise no editorial control over their content. They are simply there as platforms, as a public square. Well, what we have found out now is that's a complete lie. They are exercising censorship over viewpoints they don't like. They suppress those viewpoints. They censor those viewpoints. They prohibit those viewpoints from being aired on their platforms. There ought to be a very, very simple standard. And that standard is, if you can say it on a street corner, you should be able to say it on a social media platform. And if you can't, it's no longer a public platform. It's a publication, which is fine. That's what freedom of speech is all about. A newspaper exercises editorial control over what goes in it. They decide what letters to the editor are going to be published. They decide what's going to be printed in their newspaper. They decide what letters to the editor are not going to be published, what things are not going to be said in their newspaper. That's called freedom of speech. But as they do that, they have to take legal responsibility for what's in their newspaper. The social media platform should be no different. So actually right now I am drafting a bill that simply says that. If you want to sue a media platform that's protected by Section 230, you have to show that they have practiced censorship against what would otherwise be constitutionally protected speech in the last year. And if you can demonstrate to a court they've done that, they do not have 230 immunity, and you can sue them for defamation, for copyright infringement, for any of the things that you could sue a newspaper for. And that, to me, that makes sense. That preserves the freedom of speech. If they want to censure speech, they can. But if they're going to do that, they have to take responsibility for what they're publishing.
Congressman McClintock, we appreciate you always coming in and being on the show. Any closing comments you'd like to make?
Well, I do think that our country is at a critical crossroads. Abraham Lincoln warned his generation that they were destined in the next few years either to meanly lose or nobly save this, the last best hope of mankind on this earth. I believe that wheel's come full circle. I think that challenge is now in our generation's hands. It is a danger that has sprung up amongst us, and it's our generation's responsibility to set things right. And to be honest, I don't know which way it's going to go. I do think Lincoln was right. We will either nobly save or meanly lose this country within the next few years, and it's going to depend upon what Americans decide is the future for their nation, for their families, for their future.
I have to end on that note. We've been talking with Congressman Tom McClintock on this weekend's Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. See you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.